First of all, thank you, Ernest, and the others for inviting me. My name is Carol Treston, and I'm the Executive Director of AIDS Alliance for Children, Youth, and Families. AIDS Alliance is a membership organization historically of the Ryan White Part D programs, but I say historically. Our mission is to advance the partnership between providers and consumers and to be the voice for women, children, youth, and families living with or at risk for HIV in the U.S. And so I really am very, very proud of our mission. I had nothing to do with establishing it, but to advance the partnership between providers and consumers. And I think that is a kind of old adage that was since 1994, but it is still something worth keeping in the forefront of our minds, as well as, I think, the HIV community in general. Ernest is probably going to regret asking me to come here because I don't really have any answers. I've just got lots of concerns and questions and reflections. But right now I'm having a hard time seeing the way forward through a lot of uncertainty. So let me just put that out right out there. I am a nurse by training and started an HIV program in Philadelphia in 1986 and then ran it for 16 years. So I view my lens on the world is I try to understand things from a Philadelphia perspective. And so that has a lot of meanings, I know. I'm a Philly girl. But if I can visualize a healthcare system or changes in a healthcare system from what I know in Philadelphia, then I can, or challenges to it, then at least it becomes something tangible to me. And then somehow I can hopefully turn that into advocacy work in D.C. So that being said, the challenges coming forward. And I think the challenges are magnifications of challenges that we've always faced. We're talking about providers who are already overstretched. Part D programs in particular, but across the board, there's been level funding for years. And our ability to care for the patients that we have and then increase numbers of patients with expanded testing, linkage to care, re-engagement back into care strategies make it really very difficult for the providers, I don't need to tell you this, to lift their head up every day from the 50 patients that they have to see that day. And that, I think, is even more of a challenge going forward as we look to and expect and hope for Medicaid expansion that will bring more folks into care. So there's that challenge going forward. What Andrea talked about is preserving the quality of time and the quantity of time. But it also has real ramifications now as we are looking for a more a re-energized advocacy effort. It's going to be more important now than ever going forward for 2013 reauthorization and hopefully a extension and as we move forward to, I heard you say 2019.
That was some information that we got earlier today.
So we're going, the advocacy is best when it's consumers and providers and advocates all together. So how do we do that with increasing burdens on providers and folks back in the field? Clearly the other challenges, and I guess this is part of question number two, how do we understand what opportunities are in the Affordable Care Act and how are they translatable to our current providers without resources to do that? Because none of those solutions are free or are easy. We just did a lot of work on medical home certification and what that might look like for Ryan White providers. And it is a multi-step, multi-year process that would yield some better reimbursement rates. There's actually questions about in the first level, is it even going to pay what the investment is in that? Even with some very promising opportunities in the Affordable Care Act, without the resources the manpower, woman power that we need back at the sites, as well as the actual dollars to put these systems in place and the training that requires. Even the best opportunities are going to be fraught with difficulty. I think that I will also point out that, and my closing on this number one is that one of the things that we will all continue to strive for is not to throw the baby out with the bathwater for Part D, but we have some tremendous strategies in the Ryan White world that have been developed over the last 15 plus 20 years that are not an immediate fit into the Affordable Care Act. And I think the more that the capacity building assistance, the resources, the understanding of how much of those pieces have to be adjusted to fit into the Affordable Care Act, that it's not a plug and play. So patient navigators, for example, are an example of an opportunity in the Affordable Care Act. But they are not simply using peer educators as we have historically used them. There needs to be a lot more of a medicalization and a linkage with institutions, i.e., hospitals and universities. So even the things that automatically seem like a good fit for Ryan White programs into the Affordable Care Act, there still is a tremendous amount of resources and modification and fine-tuning to make those happen. And I think identifying those resources required and then getting the funding to do that is going to be the challenge coming forward.